Go with me, if you will, to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, a small little book in the Old Testament. If you find Isaiah, then the next book is Jeremiah and Lamentations. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, wrote Lamentations. Lamentations means to cry out to God. Well, to cry out. And Jeremiah wrote Lamentations shortly after the Babylonians had destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed all the kingdom of Judah, destroyed Jerusalem, tore down the walls, ransacked the city, destroyed the temple, leveled the temple, took out all the treasures of the temple, everything, and had taken it. They also had taken King Zedekiah, brought his sons in front of him, and made, you know, many people watch it. And maybe Jeremiah had seen this too. They killed King Zedekiah's sons in front of him, family, and then they blinded him. So that the last thing he saw were his sons being killed. Jeremiah had witnessed the most educated and most promising of the Jewish nation, put in shackles and chains, and taken into captivity to Babylon. And now Jeremiah is there with the remnant. And how many of you know the Babylonians were like locusts? They took everything, anything of value, sheep, anything that you had. And now here they are. He had seen the destruction, the bloodshed, the horror. And he couldn't help but think God has abandoned him. I mean, he had prophesied that God was going to punish the Jews, but never dreamed it would be like this. And so now he's crying out to God, where are you in this? This can't possibly be your will. How could anything good come out of this? This can't have been your plan. Does that sound familiar? Of course it does. You're looking at me like, no, but yes, it does. How many times have things come into our lives and we go, Lord, how can this possibly be your will? What good could ever come out of this? Jeremiah and the remnant of the Jews, those in Jerusalem, were looking at an unknown future. The food supply, what were they going to eat? Most of their homes have been destroyed. I mean, they leveled the place. I can't go into, and just read about it. The Babylonians were done with the Jews. They wanted to just, and they wiped the thing. They just leveled the place. So Jeremiah, as he's crying out to God, is overwhelmed with the destruction and loss. His prophetic warnings, he had prophesied that this was going to happen, and the people had ignored him. And now they were suffering the consequences of disobeying God. The Babylonians are gone. Jerusalem is in ruins. Before we read the passage for this morning, this morning's message is the second in a 12-part series entitled 12 Scriptures That'll Set on Fire the Course of Your Life. 12 Scriptures That'll Set on Fire the Course of Your Life. They are not passages that I just chose because they sound good. I've been a Christian for 43 years, and each one of these passages that I'm going to share with you had a tremendous impact on my walk with our Lord Jesus. What I'm going to share with you today, if you internalize it, if you embrace it, will change your life. It'll change how you live your Christian life. The enemy does not want you to hear what I'm going to share with you this morning, no doubt in my mind. So Lamentations 3. The scripture is verses 22 and 23, but we're going to start in verse 21. Because in verse 21, Jeremiah has been crying out to God, Lord, how can this be you? Look at this horrible thing that's happened. And then here in chapter 3, something changes. Jeremiah begins to remind himself of God's faithfulness and his character, that God always accomplishes his word. Verse 21, This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The scripture that changed my life and can change yours if you embrace it is verse 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So in the midst of questioning God, Jeremiah remembers God's faithfulness, and it changed everything. God never fails. He never forsakes us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His promises are going to be accomplished. He understood that God was working in this situation, whether he saw it or not. Look down at verse 25. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait on him. Now, how many of you know if you're waiting on God, you're trusting that God's going to do something? You're trusting that God is working in your situation. The Lord is good to those who wait on him, to the person who seeks him. So Jeremiah was sure that God's working, and it encouraged him. No matter what you're going through this morning, I want to encourage you. It's kind of a side note here. God is working in this thing. If you have given it to him, if you're praying about it, trying to be obedient in it, God is working. Paul in chapter 2, verse 13 says that God is always working in your life to will and to work his good pleasure. Maybe Jeremiah reminded himself of a prophetic word that he had given years before, that God had given him, that many of you have memorized, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now I know some of you have this verse memorized. And this, the truth of it, the proclamation of it, should give your spirit, I mean, your spirit should be uplifted when you think about that God has your present and your future in his hands. Amen, Dave, preach it. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. It's the truth. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, and I love this verse, it says, God is not only with you, but he goes ahead of you. Think about that verse. He's not only with you today, but he's been to your future. He's prepared the way. The reason why this scripture in Lamentations is one of the 12 scriptures I believe will set on fire the course of your life is because of this truth right here. Jesus has given us freedom and hope from yesterday's failures, tragedies, and loss. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, his compassions never fail, they are new every morning. Now I know what it's like to carry a heavy burden of guilt, of shame, of loss, of tragedy, of failure. It just doesn't go away. You're beaten up on yourself, it's there when you go to bed, and you always wake up in the middle of the night. Devil's beating on you, you're beating on you. You get up, it's there, all day long it's there, it won't go away. And it's hard to look in the future. It's hard to have a positive attitude because of something you did or a loss, a tragedy, a failure. Even, it may have even been something that somebody did to you. It's hard to look past this event, this experience, the loss, sin, failure, the shame. You go to bed, it's there. It just never goes away. But Jesus has given us freedom and hope from yesterday's failure, tragedies, and loss. If you can get this in your head, it'll change your life. When I embraced this truth, and I didn't really embrace it, I'm going to explain all how I did that until I was in my 40s. The truth is that yesterday is over. There's nothing you can do. And Jesus says here, I don't care about yesterday. I care about today. I care about if you trust me today, if you're obedient with today, if you want to live for me today. I care about today, not yesterday. I care about today and your future. I want to just kind of interject something here, if you just kind of hold off for a minute. Because I want to be sensitive to if you've recently lost a loved one. There's a time, Ezekiel says there's a time to grieve, okay? And it's healthy to grieve, go through the grieving process. I don't have time to talk about that. But I want you to understand, at some point, God wants you to get up because he's got more life for you to live. He's got things he wants you to do. You're still here. It's not that you don't forget about that loved one, but there's a time when the grieving needs to stop and you need to get up and live your life for Jesus. Back to the message. Yesterday's failures are done. What's important to Jesus, and this is what it took so long to get in my head, what's important to Jesus is what I do today. You see, if you've asked Jesus, if you're a son and daughter of Jesus Christ, you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, well, he died for you on the cross, and that he took every sin on him on the cross, it's final, it's forgiven. Jesus has forgiven you. It took me, I can say that theologically. I could write a paper on it. I went to seminary. I went to a Lutheran seminary. They talk about the grace of God all the time. But it's one thing to sing about it. It's one thing to write about it. It's one thing to know about it up here, but it's another thing to believe it. I'm telling you, if you ask Jesus to forgive you, he's forgiven you. Period. He doesn't even remember. It's as far as east is from the west. The devil may bring it up. People love to bring up your failures. Believe me, I know it. I get letters all the time reminding me. It's always funny to me because nobody beats up me like me, and these people think I need to be reminded. Like they're doing me a favor. Yesterday's failures are done. They're forgiven. God doesn't want you to think about it. God wants to give us vision and hope for the future. Do you understand that you really can't have the kind of vision God wants you to have for the future if you're stuck in the past? If you're constantly thinking about something that happened to you or a failure that you did, something you said you did, or something that happened to you. God wants us to think about today and the future, not the past. Now, I have four questions that I'm going to quickly run through. We could probably spend a whole message on every single one of them, but I want to run through them because I want to challenge you. As we run through these four questions quickly, see if you can identify with one of them or any part of them. Number one. Are your sins, loss or failures of the past, hanging over your head like a cloud? Number two, when you pray, does something inside of you doubt that God's going to hear? Number three, do you feel as if your potential to be used by God is over or is sorely hampered? Do you think that you are damaged goods, that your potential is limited? The fourth one. Are you afraid to move ahead in your life, make decisions, or take a step of faith? Friends, if you answered yes to any of these questions or any part of these questions, this message is for you. And I'm telling you, if you embrace it, it'll change your life. It changed my life. I'm not sharing with you some theory or philosophy. I am testifying to you that this changed my life. Absolutely changed my life. Revolutionized it. It's so sad to see a Christian who's stuck in the past. Someone who has let the past, a failure, a tragedy, whatever it is, something stupid they did. And I am king of stupid. I know about this. Some of the things never mind. There's no need to go there because I have lots of testimony about that. It's so sad to see a Christian who let something in the past define their present and limit their future. sure, there may be consequences that we have to face. I mean, fearing God, I don't have time to get into this, but fearing God really is understanding that if I disobey God, there's consequences. You want to teach your young, this is a side note, the one thing you and I need to teach our children is that when we disobey God, there are consequences. When you disobey mom and dad, there are consequences. How do you think they learn that? If they know that they disobey you, there's consequences, they'll understand that when they disobey God, there's consequences. And I'm way off my notes. I have to get back here. But there are consequences. And you may be experiencing them. Here's the truth of it. If you make a decision that you're not going to let that past dictate your future, God says, okay, there's some things you have to experience, but I'm going to help you through it. I'm going to help you navigate it through it. I'm going to help you navigate through this so that you ultimately have victory over it. Amen. And not only that, Romans 8:28 says, not only will you have victory over it, but I'll help that thing become something good in your life. Something good will happen as a result of it. Something good will come out of it, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm just going to ask you again, do you want to revolutionize your life? Do you want to radically change how you approach each day? Do you want to live your life differently than most of the people around you? Then simply embrace the truth, and this is the truth if you're a Christian, that your potential for the future is unlimited. It's unlimited. The power that rose Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. Now, that's pretty powerful. Paul in Romans 8:11, Ephesians 1:18 and 19, Ephesians 3:20, he prays for the Romans, Ephesians. I want you to understand the power that lives within you. Jesus said, I'm going to place my, in John 14:23, I'm going to place my Holy Spirit, you give your life to me, I'm going to place my Holy Spirit within you. In short, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. God has given us this gift of prayer. We can bring everything to God in prayer. And when we pray about something, what you and I are doing is we are unleashing God's possibilities in that situation. We're unleashing God's power in that situation. Because of that, years of my future is unlimited. Because God is, we've just let God loose in our future. And listen, that's the one thing the devil does not want you to understand. He'll do everything he can to keep you from understanding that your future is limitless if you've given your life to Jesus. That past thing, that past person, that past failure does not have to affect you or affect your life, affect your happiness if you don't want it to. Because Jesus is in your future. He's forgiven that. Please understand, constantly dwelling on the past, things of the past, are going to keep you and I from experiencing the gift that God won for you on the cross. You go to a lot of churches today, they don't have a cross. We will always have a cross here. Do you know why? Because that says it all. That says why we're here. That says why Jesus had to come. And if anybody understands what that cross signifies, it should fill you with hope. 1 John 1:9. I hope this is one of your memory verses. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some, all. All unrighteousness. I've sinned against people. They may shock you, but I have. I've failed God. I've missed opportunities. I've disobeyed. I've said things I shouldn't have said. And people are quickly to mail me emails and stuff and tell me how disappointed they are in me. What they don't understand is I'm already beating myself up more than anybody could ever beat me up. I don't need to be reminded. You're the same way. Many of these things have kept me up for years, for decades. They would keep me up at night. I couldn't sleep because, oh, I've done this thing, and oh, blah, 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 blah. And it's going to be a horrible thing, and it's going to affect me here and there and other and there. And I wake up in the morning just despaired. Walking around, I was a defeated Christian for probably half my Christian life. I think you can tell, I have a lot of energy, and I got a lot of emotion. And because I'm like that, I say some stupid things. My brother could give you a list. I'm serious. I think the Apostle Peter and I were very similar. Sometimes I do something without really thinking it through. I remember distinctly one time, I won't tell you what I did, but I remember walking away from it saying, Dave, do you hate yourself? What is wrong with you? Why did you say that? Oh, I don't know. So many things used to keep me awake at night. But when I embrace the truth of the cross, that I am absolutely 100% forgiven for whatever it is, and God isn't interested in what happened yesterday. He's not interested in my failure. I've asked for his forgiveness. He's given it to you 100%. And not only does he forgive you and I, he doesn't even remember it. It doesn't even come to his mind. That whole thing is wiped completely clean. All God cares about is what you do today. All God cares about is how I react today, how I love today, how I obey today, how I trust today. I'm going to say something right now. I'm going to say it over and over again. God wants you to enjoy today. He wants you to enjoy today and have success in it. He wants you to enjoy today and have success in it. And it's hard if you keep looking to the past. This is what I've learned. The cross is the greatest thing that has ever come to mankind. Because forgiveness is freedom. Forgiveness is freedom. So many in our culture are in bondage to so many things. And because they don't understand, forgiveness is freedom. Freedom from guilt. Freedom from the expectations of others. Freedom from the pronouncement of others. Freedom from lies from the enemy or others. Freedom from self-accusation. Freedom from feeling like a failure. Freedom from hopelessness. Forgiveness is freedom, friends. Each day is a special gift from God. Each day is a special gift from God, that he wants you to enjoy and have success in it. You get this in your head, it'll change your life, revolutionize your life. Each day is a gift from God. He wants you to enjoy it and have success in it. The title of today's message is Each Day is a New Beginning. Say it with me. Each day is a new beginning. Today's a new day. This magnificent truth set on fire the course of my life. It opened up possibilities for the future that I never would have experienced or even thought about because I would be too, consumed. That's the word. Consumed with the past. And if you're like me, I said it earlier, there's no one better at beating me up than me. God has given us the ability to remember. We can remember a lot. But those memories, some of them, I mean, they can be a blessing or they can be your enemy. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul. My goodness, did he have a dreadful past. If he would have let his past, and I'm sure Satan tried, I'm sure other people tried, he was horrible. By his own admission, 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, I am the chief of all sinners. He dragged Christians to their execution, dragged Christians to their death. When Stephen was being killed, he held the coats, and I would assume, here's a nice little boulder. He was horrible. Paul could have been crippled by these horrible things he had done. And I know human nature, and there's no doubt in my mind that when he gave his life to Jesus, there were a lot of Christians who were trying to remind him all the time of what a horrible person he'd been. I bet they didn't want anything to do with him. It offended their sense of sensibilities that God could save this person. He deserved the fires of hell. Come on. I know it. You know why I know it? Because as soon as they could, they put him on a boat, sent him off to Tarshish and said, see you, Paul. Bye. And they didn't contact him again, as far as we know, for 7 or 8 years. Paul could have easily given in. I mean, here are the apostles, and they're sending him off all by himself. Paul could have easily given in to all this stuff, but listen to what he said. And a lot of you know this passage, Philippians 3:13-14. One thing I do, in other words, one thing I have learned to do in my life, I forget what lies behind me and reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you read through Paul's letters, he was in prison. I mean, a lot of bad things happened. But one thing you recognize right away, he was able to rejoice in the midst of anything. And one of the secrets is that he understood that each day was a new day, no matter where he was. And God was going to use him in that day. Nothing in your past is going to hinder God from loving you. I'm going to say that again, because nothing in your past will hinder God from loving you. He loves you with a complete, absolute, perfect love. He died for you. He took every failure, every sin, every stupid thing upon himself on the cross. He took the punishment for all that. You don't have to punish yourself. There's nothing that you've done in the past that will keep God from loving you, but there's nothing that you've done in the past that will keep God from anointing you to live your day in such a way that you can rejoice in it, have success in it, and enjoy it. God has a plan for us each and every day if we just embrace it. And sometimes it's just to enjoy life. Go on a bike ride. You won't, you know, that's about as, anyway, I don't want to get into exercise. Every day the alarm goes off. And I go downstairs. I go to the automatic coffee maker. God bless, praise the Lord, whoever came up with that thing, who invented Mr. Coffee. Anyway, pour my coffee. And we built our own home. And one of the things that we did is our home faces east. And the whole wall, I mean, it's just a whole wall. It's just window, four giant windows. And it faces the east. The sunrise in my house is announced. And sometimes it's almost too much. Anyway. When I get up in the morning and I do my devotions and the sun's coming up, because I just look at all this, the mountains and the sunrise, and sometimes it's pretty incredible. And I cannot help but say, regularly, almost daily, I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. This is your day, Lord. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I know you've forgiven me for this stupid thing I did. I know you've forgiven me for that. I pray, God, I know you want me to enjoy this day. Give me wisdom to enjoy this day. Let me trust you today. No matter what happens in this day, I know you want me to be successful in it. Do you understand how that would change your life? How that would revolutionize your life? I couldn't preach with such conviction if I did not experience this myself. So many years I wasted so much energy. So much energy on woe is me. Sometimes it feels good. I don't know why, it's kind of weird. But it doesn't do any good. Do you understand that you can't have the attitude that I just suggested, well, I shared with you, if you haven't embraced the cross? If you haven't embraced that Jesus Christ really has forgiven you? It's one thing to know it here. It's one thing to think, to sing about it. It's another thing to understand. You are really forgiven. Put the next slide up. God wants our lives to be defined by the possibilities of the future. God wants your life to be defined by the possibilities of what He can do in your life future, not what's happening in the past. I told you, He'll take those past things. He'll help you with them. He'll help you navigate with them. He wants to move things around in such a way that your life will be a testimony to anybody who looks at you. Holy mackerel, look at this guy. Look at this woman. You'd never know that thing happened to them. What in the world? What did you do? What book did you read? What philosophy? How many times do you have to sit in that position, the yoga thing? What do you do? You get a hold of this truth, you never be the same. Never. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceased, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let me have the worship team up here. Every day I pray this. When I pray, part of my prayer to God is this. Lord, in this day, I ask, Lord God, that I wouldn't say anything, do anything, speak anything, infer anything that will bring shame to You, Your kingdom, my family, the church. How many of you know that there's many days when I don't do what I prayed? And I've got to the point now, guys, where I know that I've done something stupid, or I failed, or I, you know, whatever it is, or someone has tried to hurt me, or all kinds of things, and it's weighing me down. I'll lay there in bed, and I'm looking at the windows, and I can't wait for me to see just a little light, because I get up. And I go down, I pull this, I want to look at the new day. Because it reminds me, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And Jesus wants me to enjoy this day and have success in it. No matter what anybody said, no matter what anybody did, no matter what I did, I am forgiven. And their opinions of me, what they think of me, frankly, doesn't matter. All that matters is that Jesus loves me and He wants me to enjoy that day and be successful in it. And in that day, He's challenging me to trust Him, to be obedient, and to live for Him.